Channel One Right, Channel One Over, Channel One Over, Channel One Over, on Sugar and Fanny's reel, setting this up for Mr. Eastman this Sunday morning, the 27th of February, 72, Channel One Over, and I'm setting this up for Mr. Eastman this Sunday morning, the 27th of February, 72, Channel One Over, and I'm setting this up for Mr. Eastman this February, the Sunday morning, the 27th of February, 72. I was trying to find. Have you watched the China visit at all? That China trip?
Huh?
Have you watched that China trip at all?
Not in that book there?
No, that's the TV guide.
Oh.
I was trying to find something on that China trip.
On a China trip?
Yeah.
Well, the paper's full of it today.
Oh, it is. I like to see. I got one or two.
The thing of it is, he'll probably do just the same as Roosevelt and them other fellas done when they went over there. They'll get into a hell of a lot more of a mess than what was already in.
That's what's happened to you.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I thank you.
The best thing they could do is just leave them people alone over there for a while.
Well, I should think so. But the main theory in today's paper is, as I was reading it, is letting Japan and Russia wonder what's going on. See, leaving them in the dark as to what this meeting is about, one thing and another.
They'll find out before we do, Miss.
Probably.
Well, I never knew that we'd have as much as we did have over the television. It was all the time.
Yeah.
Did you hear some of that?
Girl, I don't know whether we did or not.
Well, I heard a little of it.
Yeah.
And yes, and it was just like going to the picture show.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, well, we saw some of the pictures down there.
That's what I mean.
Showing.
Yes.
The paper this morning said that Mrs. Nixon got away from the reporters there somewhere and she went and visited some temple somewhere without anybody with her. There's quite a holler about that.
Oh,
really? She did it all on her own.
Yeah, she went on her own. They didn't like that. So then they went out on that lake there in a boat. They put up an awful holler about that. I couldn't see why there was any reason for them to holler about that.
Now, I missed that, you see.
Oh, yeah, I didn't know. Oh, that must have been when they went down to the visit after they left Peking.
Yeah, they're going down to Hong Kong.
Uh-huh.
Right down in there.
Yeah, well, we had all these people here yesterday, so we didn't go.
They're going down to Shanghai tomorrow, I think, or today.
something to get in trouble.
I wouldn't be surprised.
You been busy?
Oh, I keep busy all the while with something. I got a big project going right now. A fella, he had a garage. And then on that garage, there was a 16 foot by 34 shed built on there.
Yeah.
And the roof was pretty flat on it. The water run right down through it, and it was pretty doggone rotten.
Yeah.
So we took the roof all off, and we're starting putting on a new one.
You were doing it?
Yeah. By gee, it was a funny thing. Whoever put that roof on, they put on that half lap. You know what that is?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they put down here at the bottom, they started down the bottom, they nailed down across the bottom and up the sides, you see, like that. Well, then they put this cement right on here. They never put no nails in this at all, see, and they just put the cement right on there and rolled that right into it. Well, then they never nailed the next row at all. They just put the cement on there and run another one in. And that's the way they put it all right on. So there's no nails up through the middle of that roof at all. All the nails are just up right around the edges of it, see? Well, geez, I went up and I got one of them old square shovels, you know, that you generally reach under there and keep praying like that and pulling them roofing nails out. Geez, I didn't have to use my shovel at all. All I had to do was just catch hold of the end of it like that and tear it right off. And you know, the ends here was all kind of rotted, so the nails wasn't holding at all. I don't know how that roof ever stayed on there.
By its own weight, huh?
Yes, sir. That's all.
Yeah.
I just peeled it right off. No, I stepped through the roof in two or three places where, you know, it was all rotted. That's true. I'm really getting.
There's a woman over here got her roof on. She is. And she said they done it right.
Yeah?
And what she had done was, you know, there's many stories about people come pulling the roof off and then wait a month to put it back on. She made them put it down. That they would just take off what they could replace that day. Well, the thing I was, they got that rainy week. And they just kept at it all the whole week. It didn't take very long. And she said, Miss Peasley, I didn't see it, but she ought to telephone me and told me to come over there while that fellow was there. She said they got the stuff off and got the shingles up there and they sat down and said, well, why don't you all put them on? Said, they ain't any use for us to put them on. We'll wait for this fella. And she said he put the nails in one hand and just kept hitting those things and never stopped. And he could put on two roofs while they was putting on one.
Yeah.
Did you ever hear of anything like that? Now, I can't. All she did was just motion like this, you see. But he was, but they all just sat back and waited for him to come. He put them on so fast. And she said he didn't look like he was working hard at all.
Yeah.
Some fella. They was all from New Hampshire, whole crew of
New Hampshire?
Yes. Got to come down here from New Hampshire working for Sears. And they told her if she had contacted them instead of Sears, they could God put it on for $100 cheaper. And she said, yes, but Sears are going to be here and they'll stand behind it. And I'll never see you again.
Well, a year ago, we was down, Mrs. Martin, I think her name is, down there by Orange Lake, down towards Orange Lake Shores. We took one side of the roof off and put on new shingles on there. And one day and the next day we started on the other side and started taking off some. and her son was helping me. Jesus, he said we might just as well clean the roof and have a good clean start to go on. Well, I said, Jesus, I don't know, the weather don't look too hot. Ah, it ain't gonna rain. Jesus. We just nicely got the back end partly off of that there, you know, and boy, it come right down in buckets full. Jesus, it went run right down through, and there was a bedroom right down underneath it, and it run right down through and even wet the mattress on the bed. Well, I thought maybe the old lady would kind of lay that up against me, getting the shingles off like that, but she didn't.
I was down there at Mr. Palmer's. That day after I saw you. And there were several things that come up I wanted to bring up. You and I, they just left me. You know, people like this come around and stay a day or two, and I'm just personally rattled after they leave. For it takes me a week to get that back to normal. Now, that's what the family does for me, let's see.
Well, how long has your sister been down here?
They just came Friday to bring Mother.
They just stayed a whole night almost.
You know, but that was it. If they come to stay a while, it's one thing. But if they come just to, you know, stay overnight, they're just busy doing something all the time.
Well, now, when will they get back up home?
Takes them about 9 hours.
Takes about 9 hours.
Uh-huh. And, of course, they have a lot of things on their mind that they want, you know, like to do. And they're busy all the time. So
they get back up there tonight then, huh?
Oh, yeah. And we had three boys from town who came out here and wanted to sleep out in the back pasture. They said it was fine sleeping, no bugs, no ants, and the moonlight. But they didn't have anything to eat.
Didn't any alligator come up and taunt them?
No, we were sort of wishing it would. Our cow.
Just about, if one of them had let out a good beller down there, the way I've heard them beller once in a while, geez, that fellow had been coming out of there.
Hey, I told him, Mr. Eastman saw one of them, he says, was that a boy? And he told me about Barker.
That, huh?
Barker. Is that Barker?
You
told me about
it? Yeah, oh boy, they're
tough.
Oh, they're better worse than an ugly boy.
No, I'm talking about, don't you know this boy back here with the long hair?
Yeah.
And then you told me about Mr. Barker down here.
Oh, Becker.
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 Yeah.
Becker.
What about him?
Bob Becker?
Yeah.
Well, he's been down to old Cal and he started to come home, and you see this human being, I call it, walking up the road, starting to rain, you know, and he thought to the girl, he said, Jesus, they don't need her getting wet. I'll give her a ride. So he stopped. Jesus, after she got in the car a minute, he see he'd picked up a boy instead of a girl. Bob said, but God, he said, you don't go get a haircut. He said, but please, you get right out and walk. And he stopped the car and made him get out.
What is Bob Becker? I never have seen him, Mr. Eastman.
Well, he runs that garage there at Orange Lake down there, that big steel garage, just beside the power company, between the power company and the
telephone. Up there, at the top.
Yeah.
Oh, I never been up there.
Well, right there on 441, you know, I just
right next to the grocery.
Yeah, just beyond Freddy's there, you know, there's a telephone office, and then Bob Becker's place, and then the power company.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did he do things for you?
Did he what?
Does he work for you,
Bob? Yeah, I take car down there and buy gas there, generally, one thing or another.
And he can do a little work on the car?
Oh, yeah. They do a pilot garage work there, see?
Well, how did I miss that?
I don't know.
You see, they got that place right down there.
It's Standard Oil in there, a big Standard Oil sign out. Got that big steel building in there. I think it's 40 feet wide and I guess 85 feet long.
Good Lord. That place down there had, Jody Blackburn.
Yeah?
I'm afraid to go in there. I had somehow got a curious notion about them in there.
Well, you see, this is down behind Joby's, you know. It's on the other side of the road. It's on the right-hand side going down.
Well, do you go in Joby's sometimes?
Do I go where?
You go with Joby's?
No.
Jody Blackburn's there at the, right next to the Smitty's old.
No,
place.
I bought some secondhand iron off of Smitty there once, but that's all I ever done.
No, I mean the man next to him there, don't you know? They got the garage.
Yeah, well, that's Jody Blackburn.
Yes.
Yeah.
You ever go there?
Not much, no. He's a Tennessee fellow, isn't he? Kentucky or Tennessee?
I don't know, but I somehow got the wrong notion of Joby. And I don't go in there.
Well, guy, this Bob Becker, though, I don't know how you missed him.
No. No, now that sounds more promising.
Oh, he's even hires a mechanic there besides himself, and he's there going all around.
Yeah.
They do quite a business in there.
Well, you don't have much work to do, do you?
Not too much.
You don't break down?
Not. I've been pretty lucky.
Do you service it yourself?
Well, I can.
Would you filter it and all?
Well, we can take them by gas or filters. You put in the oil filters?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we put them on.
You put them on?
What'd you do with that cap that goes on the top of that tank there? Let's see if we can.
I can do the rest of that, Miss Eaton. No use worrying about that.
Well,
Could you go? A fella could go down and ask Johnny Palmer. Say, Mr. Palmer, I got my roof's leaking. Who do you reckon I could get? I got a little electrical work too. And he knows everybody, don't he?
Yeah, pretty much.
And he'd tell you two or three fellas you could call on.
We got in kind of a mix-up down there. Well, it wasn't too much of a mix-up either, as far as that goes. But there's a woman from up in, I think that she was from Kentucky. And she's a widow woman, and her father's bought a little place down here to Millwood. Down there where you take where the cemetery is on the right-hand side there, you turn to the left and go across the railroad tracks there. The first little place there, her father bought 2-3 years ago. He'd been down there, retired, and one thing and another. Well, she come down and she bought 39 acres just east of his place there, see. She paid $15,000 for the 39 acres. Well, then she goes and buys a new trailer. She pays $7,500 for a 70-foot-by-12 trailer. And she got warped on the trailer deal, I can tell you that.
Ooh.
Well, from 441, it's just a quarter of a mile down there to where you turn in. Well, then the power company built 1,500 feet of line back to the trailer. See? So that, my way of thinking, my interpretation of this zoning business, that wouldn't come under that zoning business, see? Because they tell me that 500 feet off in the main highway is all that they can charge for, see? Well, the old man, he goes and digs a hole down there and starts laying up a septic tank out of cinder, out of cement blocks. And he gets in touch with the County Board of Health down to Ocala, and the man comes up and gives him some instructions on how it got to be done and one thing or another. So the old fella, he goes ahead and he does just as his instructions called for, and he got a pretty good tank deal out of it. Well, then Johnny Palmer sold him a electric pole, you know, with the entrance on it, see, and John and I went over and set it. Well, when we first took it over there, we didn't know where the heck they wanted it set or anything, you know, so we just dumped the pole off and left it. Well, then we found out where they wanted it, so we went over and dug a hole and set it. Well, and then the trailer, when they pulled the trailer in there, the fixtures, the ceiling fixtures, was all just on the floor. And the furniture that goes with the trailer there was right in the cartons, just to come from the manufacturers. He's just sitting right in front. Well, she called him up. Why, they said, that's the way that the trailers are sold nowadays. So they come just like that. Well, she said, that ain't the way that I bought it. And she says, you better get them fixtures up. Or says, I'll make you trouble. So they sent a man up the trailer sales down there, that mobile home brokers down below Cali. They sent a man up, and he put the fixtures up. But Jesus, the toilet seats wasn't on the toilets. They're a damn thing, you know. Well, I put the pole up there, and I said, well, Jesus, there ain't no cord down here to run out to hook in the line. So she called him up. That's the way trailers come. She says, these new trailers, you've got to put underground wire in conduit to come up into these trailers. Well, I said to her, that's a new wrinkle to me. I said, I'll call the electrical inspector down there in Ocala and find out. So I called him. Well, he says, is that an all-electric trailer? He says, has it got electric stove and everything in it? And I know. A gas stove, gas water heater. Well, then he says the cable is all right to use, but he says these new big trailers, a lot of them come double, you know, 24 foot wide and like all electric. Well, he says we're making them put in underground wire and put it in the conduit. So I happen to have a 24 foot length of that trailer cable, that number 6 cable, see? So I took it down and put it on, and they paid me for it, and the trailer people were going to pay for part of it. So I put it on. Well, then I went down to the zoning board to get an electrical permit for inspection to get it hooked up. And I come back, and before I went down there, we took and buried the electric line from the entrance pole out to the water pump in the same ditch with the water pipe, see? And the old man dug a ditch out through there. Well, I helped him a little bit. Oh, we only put it down 8, 10, 12 inches deep, you know, just a couple shovels full of dirt down. Well, I went down to get the electrical permit, and they wouldn't sell me one. They said, before we sell you an electrical permit, you've got to have a zoning permit. You've got to have a building permit. You've got to have a plumbing permit. And you've got to have a septic tank permit before they sell you an electrical permit, see? Because if the electrical work is all right, And the inspector okays it, then the power company can hook onto it and they can't enforce some other ones. See? They use that electrical then as a kind of a whiplash there, you know, to make them get the others. So I come back and I told her, well, she was pretty darn mad about it. She called them up down there and they said, well, if you will send us down a letter to sell him those other permits and he pays for them, well, then we'll sell him an electrical permit and come up and inspect it. All right, so geez, the next day I run down there. Cost $31 for them permits. Now, today's paper, there's a piece in there that old Hastings had got in there that he's making the office more than support itself. See? Now, the first 3.5 months of 1972, or the first... How did they get that? They know 3.5 months shed it. But anyway, they've took in $46,000 and they figured that it takes about $75,000 to run that office for a year. He's walking it right to the people on that. Well, the electrical inspector come up and, well, the inspection or the electrical work was all right with one exception. That line that goes out to the water pump, it's got to be from 18 to 24 inches under the ground, and the water pipe has got to be that. So, geez, the old man and I dug the pipe up, and we dug the ditch down and put it down to 2 feet. Called the inspector back up. We had to leave holes every so far so he could see that the damn pipe was down in the ground. I suppose he thought that we'd put one end down and then come up over like that, probably. I don't know. And anyway, we had to leave an opening so that he could see. So then they passed the inspection on it, and he called the power company, and they come right over and hooked the line in. Well, then Johnny sold them one of them big television antennas there, you know, with the telescoping mast on it. And a rotor on the top, you know, that turns it around. He told her she could have one for $100. Well, John hadn't got the bill of it or anything, you know. So John come get the bill of it. Christ, it cost him over $100 for the damn outfit. And then he had to pay me for putting it up besides. John said, Jesus, he says, I got to charge that to loss. Well, I said, where's the profit? Well, God, they don't know profit, he says.
Well, I didn't know he'd done such things as that, Mr. Eastman.
Well, he sold it to him, you know, and then he got me to put it up.
How high is it?
Huh?
How high?
How high? 40 feet.
That's pretty good. I'll tell him when I see him I want one of them $100 outfits. But what is this fellow's name? Who is that? You were telling me about that telephone man down there. What's his name?
Culpepper.
Culpepper. Is he a little... How did he look?
Oh, he's a fellow about my build.
Well?
Might be a little bit taller.
Let me tell you. This thing here. This is a new man. And he was a repairman. And my line was crossed up with Preacher Taylor's line down here. And his ring, I ring, mine ring, his ring. And it'd been that way since I'd been out here.
Yeah.
The only thing, his didn't ring much. That fellow was working right out there. And I just walked up and passed time of day with him, and I says, you're looking at the man who's had the poorest telephone service of anybody in the United States. Well, he says, I don't know about that, but your troubles are over.
He did.
Well, now, you tell it. This telephone, this wire going down there, they had left that on. And in here, they had that little old thing so short, I couldn't get to it. And the way back over there, so he put this wire on there, and you can take it halfway through the next room. And there was a little 10-year-old nigger boy. Did I tell you about that? He'd been tyrannizing over us. He was on this line, and it's an 8-party line. And he'd ring everybody up.
Yeah.
And you couldn't get rid of him. If you hung up on him, he'd ring you back.
Yeah.
And he'd just keep that up. And I could pick that thing up almost any time, and he'd be on it. Not just any time, but a lot of times, especially at supper time or something like that. He'd be on it talking to somebody. And then when we get a call, he'd answer. And if we weren't here, you see, he'd tell him that he was us. Well, the dentist called and said that told Faye about an appointment, you see. She'd tried to make an appointment with him. And he took the message, you see, but we never knew anything about him. Well, that's one of the worst things that ever happened to me here. I couldn't get him out. Well, while he was working on it, that little boy called or something, and he called in to the operator. He was testing it, and this little boy picked up the receiver and answered. He says, I'm calling from the Miles's. Who is this? He says, well, I'm at the Miles's too. This little boy, why, he says, the hell you are, I'm at the Miles's. Well, that's not quite straight, but that's the general way it was. He went over there and tarred and feathered that boy. He done something to that boy because we haven't even heard from that boy since then. And he got this thing to working, and it used to be every time somebody on the phone would call out or get a call, you know, you could hear it ringing. You can't hear it ringing on this one.
Well, I'll tell you, there's another fellow that works down there. And he is a telephone contractor that, hell, this fellow that's down there, he don't go out and do much work himself. He runs it all, and just calls the damn contractor, and them contractors, there's two of them.
Yeah.
They come in here and come and do all the work.
Oh. Oh. Well, let me tell you, there's been many a repairman up here, and none of them has done a thing until this last one.
Yeah. Well, there's a fellow down there that does contracting work for him now, and he's a young fellow there, and he seems to be pretty good.
But now, he's not the fellow you had the connection with.
No, that fellow there is in the club down there. He's the boss down there.
And this boy,
that's the reason your damn telephone costs so much money. They keep too many fellows sitting around doing nothing. Mm-hmm. Now there's two fellows down there that they call themselves telephone contractors, see, and they just sit around waiting for something to go wrong somewhere, and one of them will go out and fix it. Well, they ain't sitting around for nothing.
Yeah, I see. So you think this is one of the contractors?
I think so, because there was Thomas Concrete brought us some cement down here to McIntosh, and Zeta, that they caught the electric line down there and tore that down, and there was this older contractor come up and fix that. And then there was a well, when Ines Huff moved her trailer over on her own lot there, they just run a electric or a telephone line right on the ground over here like this and over her house, her trailer there. Laid right on top of the ground there, heck, for a month. And finally there was a crew come in there with a big outfit, you know, that has a thing down like that that runs right along and your cord comes right down and goes right down and in under. And they come there, there were five fellows with that outfit and two would have done just as good as the five. Come up there and run that, and they run a brand new wire down there, and the wire that's been laying on top of the ground, they just wound right up and throwed in the junk.
Yeah.
And that other wire would have been just as good to put right back in there, you know. If you seen it up there, just throw it away. There's so much waste to that. And now you and I and the other fellows are all paying for it.
Yeah. Well, that's what that wire out yonder was. We asked for an extension, and there was a trail out there then, and they put it out here. Well, when they found out that that was wrong, they just left this one here and put a new one over there.
Yeah.
Just left it there.
Yeah, they don't. They run new wire all along.
Mr. Eastman, how's your son making it down there?
Well, he's working pretty good down here at Lyle Motors down there in Ocala, that Oldsmobile people. He's making out all right there.
And is he a pretty handy fellow?
He's a darn good mechanic.
Well,
he's graduated, you know, from the Oldsmobile school and from the Cadillac school. And then he went some to the Pontiac school, but I don't think that he graduated from that. But, Jesus, my Pontiac, got that tuned right up so that I get about 20 miles per gallon of gas.
Oh, my gosh, that's
lucky. He's real good on tuning them up, you know, getting them right up there.
Yeah. Now, but he's working for that big garage down there.
Yeah.
Now, he kind of lost interest. He'd rather stay over here than go over there to Orlando, like you thought he was
going to
do?
Well, no, they've moved their trailer into Bellevue down there, and they're staying there. They're down there to Orlando. Now, I don't know whether it's Orlando or St. Petersburg, but they got a hold of him some way. And they wanted him to go into the college down there and teach automobile mechanics. But he was afraid there was going to be a damn big headache to it, so he didn't take the job.
Oh.
And I know that to be so, because I saw some of the letters that they wrote to him. And they just about begged him to come down there and teach automobile mechanics. He says, you know, he says it's one thing to do the work yourself and another thing to tell somebody else how to do it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that could just run him right crazy.
And he was afraid there was going to be a big headache to it, so he just didn't.
Well, that's better on you, because he's closer home.
Yeah, he's down there to go. We were down there last Sunday. And he's got a sister that lives over Satellite Beach. That's over on the ocean there. And she gets a couple of papers from up home. Well, she brought him over some of them papers there a couple of days before we were down there. And they'd kind of looked at them, and they gave them to me, and I brought them home. Geez, you know, the fellas up home there my age are dying off like flies this winter up there. Why, every paper, there's three, four of them that died. I bet you in January and February, I bet you there are 25 fellows in there, or men and women that I knew there.
That
died.
You knew.
Huh?
That you knew.
Yeah, that I knew. You know. I got sort of a kick out of one up there. There's one paper telling about this young lad getting pinched for selling LSD. The next doggone paper told about his grandfather dying of a heart attack. Now, whether that had anything to do with it or not, I don't know.
Yeah. This lady, let me tell you, over there, that woman you was telling me about that was interested in the civic club, that's your wife's sister?
Yeah.
You all, they're the ones you all took trips with.
Yeah. Yeah.
They must be pretty good company.
Geez, that was the meanest damn deal that I ever knew a woman to pull off. Here I was working right there at her place, you know, to get it ready for her, for his brother to come down, and they wanted it to look so damn nice. At the same time, you know, she was nice to my face there and turning right around and running off with that damn telephone man to get him to vote against me.
Anyway, she didn't build him up, she tore you down.
Yeah. Yeah, she was building him up and tearing me down at the same time.
Well, now, you see, nobody knew that except the ones that know you pretty well, Miss Eastman.
Well, you know, if it had been a stranger doing something like that and wanted somebody else in as president of the club, you wouldn't have thought so much about it. But, Jesus, your own sister, now I was working right there.
That was
she spread the word, didn't she?
When I was in down there and we used to put on them potluck suppers, you know,
yeah.
I'd take a cardboard just about the size of that, see, and say, potluck supper, see, in the Orange Lake Civic Club, and go on some details about it, you know, and post it up. They're going around and telling each one separate, now we're going to have potluck supper Saturday night, now you be sure to come. And then they go to the next one telling. They don't put up any signs anymore. They just want to get a few exclusive ones, don't you know? And they just come. See, they just don't want everybody to come. They just want certain ones to come to it.
Yeah. Well, now, you right there every time, aren't you?
Huh?
You go every time, don't you?
No, I ain't going anymore.
Well, you ought to go, Miss Eastman.
Yeah, well, that's what they try to tell me, but I say to hell with them. Let them take care of their own business.
It's just as much your club as it is there.
Yeah.
You see, you can go down there and put some posters up. Miss Eastman, is she really got...
I ought to put some posters up, black invited.
Let me tell you, Miss Eastman, you... she really got to... People got your number now, haven't they?
Yeah.
That's the way they do me. I didn't know they did other people like that.
Yeah.
That's the kind of friends I have, Miss Eastman.
Yeah.
They go out of their way to let them know what I'm like.
Well, you know, Teddy, the fellow says, I used to feel sorry for myself without any good shoes. Till I saw a fellow without any feet. And you know how true that is. No matter how bad off you are or how bad you feel, if you look just a little bit, you'll see somebody that's just a little worse off than you are.
Yeah. But you know, you all got a good bunch of people down there, Mr. Eastman.
Well, we used to have.
Why, you enjoy those potluck dinners.
Yeah. Geez, and I'd done more work than one of them potluck suppers than anybody else in the whole bunch.
Yeah.
Probably as much as two of them ever done for it.
What did she say? That you was an old-timer and didn't
an
know
old fossil.
Oh.
Sure. I sent them a bill for my work, and they didn't pay for it the first month, so the second month. I sent him another one there, and I've got a printed form that I had printed up north. It says that I've waited longer than most of my creditors wait for me, and their bill is past due, and I'd appreciate it if they'd pay it. I signed the bottom of it, the old file. Of course, it had my name all printed on the top of it.
Well, let me tell you. Now, that's your wife's sister.
Yeah.
Is she like your wife?
Yeah, they've always been A1 friends and one thing and another. But I'll tell you, my sister-in-law is a trained nurse.
Yeah.
And you never saw a trained nurse in your life no more than I did, but what is always lazier in hell about doing housework.
Oh.
They never wanted to do any housework, see?
Yeah.
And she got my wife to come down here to do her housework while she was working down there in the prison, see? Well, then she didn't like it because Evelyn and I got married because that took her away from there doing the housework. Now, Jesus, she'd be around and she'd ride around down there now. And I'll bet you that 9 days out of 10, when night comes, the sink is full of dirty dishes for my brother-in-law to wash.
For your brother-in-law to wash?
Yes, sir. She's just that goddamn lazy. But it ain't just her. I've never seen a trained nurse before. It was just that same way. But Jesus, my grandmother was a trained nurse, and she was just that same way. But Jesus, my grandfather used to have to do about all the housework.
Yes. She had it. You had it coming to you, Mr.
Yeah.
For interrupting her.
Yeah.
Her plan.
I got her housekeeper away from me.
Now, your wife's a good housekeeper.
Yeah.
Isn't she?
Yeah.
Every time I stick my nose in your house, it seems awful tidy.
Yeah, she's pretty good.
And a good cook.
Huh?
And a good cook.
Pretty good.
And she likes to cook. Yeah. Yes, sir.
No, Miss Eastman, how much owe you?
About $2 and a half.
I don't know. When I have a little time, I'd like to speak for a little help way ahead where I could.
That porch is going to fall down.
Well,
we'll get up someday before long.
Well, let me tell you, on Tuesdays and Thursdays, I don't have to go up there to the
West. Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Yeah.
You're here.
Yes. And what I was thinking about, I wouldn't be any help to you, but I could run some errands for you.
Well, you'd be quite a lot of help, too. Be like now yesterday, this man Warrington, where I was rebuilding that shed down there, he works for the city of Gainesville. Mechanic like, and he was there yesterday. Well, geez, you know, the work went about three times as fast. See, with two was a little one.
Yeah.
Now you see, you take it with one, you'd have to get one end of the rafter up there, and then get the other end up, carry the other end up, and nail one end, and then go and nail the other end. You know. You take the two of us, and geez, you set the rafter right up there, one near one and one the other, and geez, you're right ready for the next one.
Yeah. And all that climbing around, that don't get you anywhere. Yeah, a lot of things you can do with one man, but it's a lot easier with two.
Yeah. Well, then they put the slats on there. They're going to put on a metal roof on there. Put them slats on there, see about that far apart. Well, I was up on the top and nailing them, you know, and he just kept handing them up. See, he'd hand them up, you know, and I'd take and nail them right up there. Otherwise, I'd have to throw up some, then go up and nail them, then go back and get some more.
Yeah.
It made a lot of difference.
Yeah. Do you have a recipe for gates? Did you ever make gates?
Make what?
Just make make these gates.
Well, I tell you, I have made a lot of gates in my lifetime. But
the wood's so poor now.
Yeah. But you can buy them, you know, with the angle iron on them and all braced. You can buy them just cheaper than what you can make them.
John went over around 8:50, and the end of Mr. Eastman this Sunday morning, the 27th of February, 72. Channel 1 right around 8:50, and the end of the visit with Mr. Eastman this Sunday morning, the 27th of February, 72. Channel 1 over around 8:50, and the end of the visit with Mr. Eastman this Sunday morning, the 27th of February, 72.